Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of Romans, chapter 2. I'd like for you to get a Bible and read these two verses. I'm going to speak to you on the subject, He is a Jew. We're going to have just a little controversy this morning in this message. Go stir up your thoughts a little bit. I want to set you to do a little thinking. In Romans chapter 2, verse 28. Now, are you with me? Will you let me preach to your heart? Will you lend me your ears for just a few moments? Will you hear what I have to say? In Romans chapter 2, verse 28, it says, "For he's not a Jew. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh." That's not circumcision. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. And circumcision is not cutting the flesh. He is a Jew. Now, this is Paul writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in the book of Romans. He is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart. It's in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now you listen to this. No better proof of our fallen condition, fallen in Adam, our spiritual darkness, we're in spiritual darkness, and our ignorance of the living God, no better proof can be found anywhere than in the fact that we think God Almighty, the living God, is pleased with and satisfied with and impressed with our outward programs and forms of religion. That's the greatest proof of man's fallen condition you can find anywhere. It's the greatest proof of his spiritual darkness and of his ignorance of the living God to think that God is impressed, that God is pleased and God is satisfied with our lip service. He said, "These people call me Lord with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They come and they sit as my people in the congregation, but their hearts are somewhere else. They go after covetousness and other gods and worship idols." Lip service doesn't please God, and to think that it does is to reveal spiritual darkness and ignorance of the living God. And to think that our ceremonies and all of our outward morality and all of our religious deeds, to think that that pleases God. Listen to the Pharisee. He was a representative of religion in his day. He stood in the temple and he prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you, I'm not like other men." He said, "I'm not an adulterer, I'm not an extortioner, I'm not unjust." He said, "I tithe all that I possess, I give alms to the poor." Now, for that man to think that the eternal, omnipotent God is pleased with or impressed with his outward service and outward morality is for that man to show pure ignorance of who God is and to reveal his total fallen condition. To think that our duties and our works and our tithes and our religious services and our cold doctrines and our dead prayers impress the living God, that's to reveal our total ignorance of God. Now, my friends, I wouldn't discourage any man from devotions. I encourage devotions. I wouldn't discourage any man from prayer, from worship, from a godly walk. I encourage those things and doing good works in the name of Christ. But listen to me. A man can engage in all of these things, which the Pharisees did, and the scribes and the Sadducees. A man can engage in all of these outward forms of religion, in morality, in deeds, in laws, in ceremonies, in rituals, in holy days, in fastings and tithings, even in proselyting converts. He can engage in all of these things and totally miss a right knowledge of God and totally miss a living union with the Lord. Two or three examples of that. One in Matthew 7, our Lord said, "In that great day of judgment, many," not just a few, but many, "will say unto me, 'Lord, We prophesied in your name. That's preaching. And we cast out devils in your name. And we healed the sick in your name. And we built schools and universities and colleges and churches in your name. And we did many wonderful humanitarian works in your name. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. I never, never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Another perfect example of this. And what I'm saying is this. That one of the proofs of our blindness and our spiritual darkness and our ignorance of God is that we think that what we do outwardly in the form of religion and holy days and morality and these things impresses God. It doesn't impress God. In the flesh, no man can please God. In the flesh dwelleth no good thing. And to even entertain the thought that anything you can think, Paul said, we're not even capable of thinking anything pure and holy of ourselves. To entertain the thought that anything you do or say or think can impress an infinitely, unchangeably, eternally holy God is to show you don't know yourself or God. Saul of Tarsus was old religious, one of the greatest religious leaders of his day. He said, I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews. I was circumcised the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. My mama was a Hebrew and my daddy was a Hebrew. He said, I excel in religion. Concerning the law, I was blameless. Zeal, enthusiasm, persecuted the church. He said, but I was dead in trespasses and sin. Did not know God, didn't even know I was a sinner. And this is the very thought that Paul is setting forth right here in Romans 2. Do you see it? He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. And circumcision is not in the flesh, it's of the heart and in the spirit, not in the letter of the law or the letter of religion or the doctrine of religion. And its praise is not of men. It's not done for the sake of men. It's not done to be seen of men. That's what our Lord said in Matthew in the Sermon on the Mount. He said, these people pray on the street corners to be seen of men. They have their reward. They give their 10% and their large offerings to be seen of men. They have their reward. They fast and they tell everybody in town about, look, I've fasted this week. They have their reward. They do it to be seen of men. He's a Jew which is one inwardly. True circumcision is of the heart. Now, what are we saying? This is what we're saying. This is what Paul's saying. He is not a Christian. He is not a Christian. He is not a child of God. He is not a believer who is only an outward religionist. Good deeds, morality, church membership, and religious ceremonies does not make a person a child of God. Does not make a person a child of Abraham, a Christian. He is a Christian who is one inwardly, whose heart has been broken by the power of God and by the Spirit of God because of sin, whose heart has looked to, embraced, and received the Lord Jesus Christ as Redeemer, Sanctifier, Justifier, and His righteousness. That's the man who is a Christian. He is not one who is one outwardly. He is a Christian who is one inwardly. Salvation is a heart work. It's an inward work. It's not an outward profession. It's not an outward religion. It's not an outward ceremony. True circumcision, and we'll get to this in a few moments and help you with it. True circumcision is not the cutting of the flesh. It's not the cutting of the flesh. It's not even the fasting of the flesh. It's not even to deprive the flesh. But true circumcision is the work of God in the heart. That's where it takes place, a rending of the heart, a breaking of the heart, you see, a smiting of the heart, a pricking of the heart by the Holy Spirit. Luke 16:15 says this, our Lord said this to them. He said, you are they which justify yourselves before men. And I wonder just how much of our religious prayers and readings and giving and serving is for the benefit of people around us. Just how much? I wonder just how much. Our Lord said, he said, you are they which justify yourselves before men to be seen of men for the approval of men and women. But listen, but he says, God knows your hearts. God knows your hearts. And that which is highly esteemed among men, that which men commend, and of which they think highly, is an abomination in the sight of God. Oh, I wonder how much of our religion is an abomination in the sight of God. All of our carryings on, all of our clapping and hand-raising and carrying on and bragging on the flesh and talking about how moral and how good and how sanctified and how righteous and how we live above sin and how we don't do this and don't do the other and how we got delivered and how we gave this and how we built that, all this bragging on the flesh, lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. I wonder how much of it which is highly esteemed among men and credited by men and bragged on by men and appreciated by men is an abomination to God Almighty. I'm afraid if we knew it, turn our hair snow white. You are they which justify yourselves before men to be seen of men. But God looks on your heart. God looks on your heart. God knows what nobody else knows. God knows what you don't even know, because the heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? God knows more than anybody knows. He knows more about you than you know. And that's an abomination to him which is highly esteemed among men. I tell you, Paul said in Romans 10, with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. We don't walk with our feet to glory. We come through faith that's born of God in the heart. Samuel said, the Lord doesn't see as man seeth. Man looks on the outward countenance and approves of what we say and approves of what we do. But God looks on the heart, and God doesn't approve of what he sees. And I'll tell you, we can read the Bible through. People say, I know my Bible. Wish you knew the author. Wish you knew the author. We can read the Bible through. We can spend much time in religious works. We can listen to preachers and learn doctrines and sit down at the ordinances and break the bread and pour the wine and profess great holiness and make pretensions and professions and join movements and support great causes. But if we've never found Christ, if we've never found Christ in all these things, as they speak of him, as they reveal him, as they point to him, if we've never been made new creatures in the heart, born again of the Spirit of God, if we've never found our acceptance with a holy God only in his dear Son, if we've never been brought like Mary to the feet of Christ, caring not what men say or think or do, if we've never been brought to love him and find a saving interest in him and lay hold of him in the heart, all we've ever done, thought, said, or given is in vain and will only add to our condemnation when we stand before a holy God. Martha stood before him one day after Lazarus had died. And she said, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And he said, well, he'll rise again. He'll rise again. Oh, she said, I know that. I believe in a resurrection. I believe that they'll all rise in that great day. He said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me shall never die. Do you believe this? You believe a doctrine. The point is to believe a person. You believe in a resurrection. The point is to believe in a living Lord, the God of life. Well, do you believe a doctrine or do you believe a person? Have you closed with a tradition or have you closed with a person? Oh, I'm a Catholic or I'm a Baptist or I'm a Jew. That's your problem. You need to know Christ. You need to forget all these names and come to know him. But look close at the text again now. Listen, I told you I was going to work this thing over and say what needs to be said. Somebody needs to say it. People either can't say it or won't say it, but it needs to be said. Look at our text. He said, he is not a Jew. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. Now listen to me. What is meant by the word Jew here? Will you listen a moment? There was a nation called Israel, a people called Jews. They were called the people of God. God gave them the promises. God gave them the prophecies. God gave them the law. God gave them the tabernacle. God gave them the sacrifices. God gave them the priesthood. God gave them the atonement. God gave them the ark and the mercy seat. They were called Jews. But these people did not all know God. They did not all believe God. These people were filled with unbelief and idolatry. In fact, most of them perished in the wilderness. Their carcasses fell in the wilderness. Out of all the people who left Egypt, 3 or 4 million of them, and journeyed toward the promised land, only 2 entered the promised land, who were over 20 years of age when they left Egypt. Out of all that crowd, over 20 years of age when they left Egypt, only 2 entered the promised land, Joshua and Caleb. And the scripture says they could not enter in because of unbelief. So these people were not the people of God. They were a typical people. They were called the people of God. They were called Israel. They were called Jews. And they were typical people, just like that tabernacle was a typical place. Just like that priesthood was a typical priesthood. It didn't have the power to save. Just like that blood offering did not have the power to put away sin. The blood of bulls and goats cannot take away sin. It represents the blood of Christ. And those Jews in the wilderness and Israel in the wilderness were not the people of God. They just represented the people of God. They were called the church in the wilderness. They were types of the church. They were called the children of Abraham, but they were not all the children of Abraham. They were called the Israel of God, but only in picture, only in type, for their religion was in outward form and not in the heart. And just as the types are no more, that typical nation is no more. Christ is our sin offering. Christ is our Savior. Christ is the seed of Abraham. And all who are in Christ are Jews. All who are in Christ are spiritual Israel. And all Israel shall be saved. Now I'm telling you the truth. Now you listen to me. I wouldn't deceive you. Buy your Bible. He says here, he is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. He is not true Israel which is Israel outwardly. That's called by name. Or traces his lineage back to Abraham. Ishmael traces his lineage back to Abraham, but he's not the true Israel. He is not a son of Abraham. He is not a son of God who is only one by natural birth, by religious form or outward ceremony. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly, born of God, born of the Spirit, a true child of God. Israel in the Old Testament, the Jews of the Old Testament, were a typical people. Just as that tabernacle, priesthood, and sacrifices were typical sacrifices that could not save. And these people were a typical people, most of whom were not saved. They weren't children of Abraham. Let me show you something. Romans 9:6. Listen. They are not all Israel which are of Israel or in the nation of Israel. Neither because they're the seed of Abraham are they children of Abraham. But in Isaac, that is, in Christ, shall thy seed be called. Listen to this, Galatians 3:7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the sons of Abraham. They which are of faith are the children of Abraham, and they which are not of faith, who are in unbelief, I don't care what they're called, they're not children of Abraham. They're not Jews. Galatians 3:27. Listen. As many as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free, male nor female in Christ. You're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs of the promise. He is a Jew. Don't know who a Jew is? That's the title of this message. He is a Jew. You want to know who a Jew is? You're looking at one right now. You're looking at one. He is a Jew which has been brought by the Spirit of God to true faith in Christ. He is a Jew. He is true Israel of God, who is born of the true Isaac, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a Jew. He is Abraham's seed, who is of the faith of Abraham. Now listen to me, and there's no other distinction in the kingdom of God. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life, hath not God. Listen to this. No man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. A man doesn't even know God, love God, or worship God, or have any relationship with God apart from Jesus Christ. Christ is God. He is the express image of God. Jesus Christ is the express image of God. He that hath seen me, Christ said, hath seen the Father. Today's Jew, today's true Israel, are the children of faith of all nations. That's what the Word of God teaches. I hear a lot of people say, well, you know, these people worship the one and only God, but they don't believe in Jesus Christ. That's an impossibility. That can't be so. Christ is God. Now listen, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And he said, no man knoweth the Father save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. A man cannot know God apart from Christ, because he is the revelation of God and the only revelation of God. He is the expressed image of God. I and my Father are one. How can you know Christ, God, if you do not know Christ? Impossible. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly. That's what Scripture says. And America's destiny. Now you hold on. I want to tell you something here. I'm going to cross the grain of most fundamentalism. America's destiny is not determined by how she treats a nation of people over there in Palestine or Jerusalem who call themselves Jew. That's not true Israel. Those aren't the true Jews. He is not a Jew which is one outwardly. He is a Jew which is one inwardly by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Christ is neither Jew nor Gentile, male nor female, bond nor free. And so many people have got the idea that we're supposed to put up with everything that that little nation does over there, right or wrong, because they're God's chosen people. No such thing. Because they're the Israel of God. No such thing. They are not. A man who does not have Christ does not have God. There's only one way to God, and that's in Christ. There's only one way to know God, and that's in Christ. They say, well, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. That's every believer. That's true Israel of every nation, tongue, tribe, and nation under heaven. Look at the text again. True circumcision is not that which is outward in the flesh, ordinances, standing by a wailing wall, or offering sacrifices, or going in a holy of holies, or going through all these motions. True circumcision is not in the letter, not outward in the flesh. It's of the heart. It's in the spirit, which God sees and God recognizes. Now, if you read Genesis 17 and Exodus 4, you'll see that God gave Abraham and the nation of Israel a sign or a token of his covenant with Abraham. And that sign was every male child was to be circumcised. And this circumcision was an undeniable sign that that person was an Israelite. That circumcision was an undeniable sign that that person was an Israelite. To be uncircumcised was not to be of Israel. Now, what is the token or the sign that a person is a true Jew or true Israel or true believer? Is it something he does in the flesh? No, sir. It's something God's done in his heart. That's where it's not in the letter. It's not in the form. It's not in the flesh. It's in the heart. And circumcision, again, is a typical ceremony. This outward circumcision could no more make a man a child of God than the blood of an animal could take away our sin. And even so, anything, you can go down the baptismal waters, you can eat the bread and wine, you can walk so many miles, you can crawl on spikes, you can crawl on broken glass, you can do all these things in the flesh, and you can't justify yourself before God. Can't make yourself a child of God. True circumcision is a heart work. It's an operation on the heart. It's a true work of grace on the heart. And when that takes place, when God rends the heart and breaks the heart and smites the heart and brings a man to true conviction and repentance and true faith in Christ, it's an undeniable sign that he is a child of God. He's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, who lives in a certain nation, who goes through certain forms. He's a Jew who's one inwardly. Circumcision is not cutting the flesh and doing all these things outwardly and making all these crosses and signs and sprinkling water and throwing things. True circumcision is to have the heart broken. For in Christ neither circumcision nor uncircumcision availeth anything, but a new creature. And if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Circumcision, not a work performed by men, but a work on the heart performed by God. Circumcision, not an outward work of religion, but an inward work of grace. Circumcision, not in the flesh, it's in the heart. Circumcision, not in the letter, it's in the spirit. Circumcision, as an outward sign, was done away with in Christ. Now, in summary, he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. He is a Jew who is one inwardly by grace and truth and faith. And he's a child of Abraham who is one inwardly by the grace of God. And circumcision and outward deeds and form is no sign whatsoever of spirituality. Just because a man can pray long prayers and read the Bible and pronounce shibboleth or some other Greek or Hebrew word doesn't mean he knows God. It's a heart work. It's a heart work. You make clean the outside of the cup, Christ said, but the inside's full of dead men's bones. You're like a whited sepulchre. You appear beautiful to men, but God knows you're full of dead men's bones. First cleanse that which is within. We are the true circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Jesus Christ, and who have no confidence in this flesh. Our confidence is in Christ. Now, you think on these things. And you order this tape if you want it. Send $2 donation. We made you the tape. Two messages on the tape. He is a Jew. He is a Jew. And the other message is the life and a look. The life and a look. I've never preached two more important messages. I wish everybody could hear them and give them some consideration. Until next week, the Lord willing, I bid you a pleasant good day.